Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone and welcome back. I am Persephone, or Seffi, Persephone Madeline, Ketchumhasla Deacon is the full title.
Fucking hell, the artist formerly known as.
Persephone Madeline, Ketchumhasla Deacon. It wasn't ketchup in the middle
though. It's kind of Esteban Ricardo, blah, 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 blah. Martinez, whatever his name is.
It's a mental name, I don't know what my parents were thinking. And I'm with my good friend, Wingling, Erin Emerali. What's your middle name?
I don't have one.
Don't you?
No, I'm not lying. I'm like, no. Eye roll. I'm like, no, side eye, don't bring it up.
Jesus, I think I took all of yours. How did I not know that?
You did know that, but you have a
shit memory.
Strained hippocampus. Seffi doesn't have a good memory, and it's okay. I'm not going to be angry at her for it anymore.
It's all good. So we're back. We're talking about how to validate yourself and let go of wanting to be liked, the control that we all have over life and or try to have over life. And we're letting go of that bullshit.
It's honestly a ride.
A ride and a half.
Strap yourself in.
It's stealth and colossus and Nemesis Inferno.
Get me to Thorpe Park now. Get me out of here.
Get me there now. If you're not from the UK, do you know what Thorpe Park is?
If you're not from the UK, how do you bear to listen to this? Because we speak about some insane things that are very
UK specific.
Very niche. Even if you're from literally my same town. So one of the things that was very common in everyone's messages about the ways that they validate themselves, et cetera, was lots of you were saying you validate yourself through grades and achievements. So someone said specifically academic or career achievements. And I think that's probably one of the most common, I guess if we're doing like two sides of it. So you can either be validating yourself just through yourself and knowing that you have some level of self-esteem, etc., just an innate, if not love, lack of hatred for yourself.
Indifference.
Yeah, but then also the other side of it, of the different tools that we use to validate ourselves that could still become quite corrupted.
Yeah.
And are still actually quite external. And I think like grades and career and stuff is a very normalized way of validating yourself.
And it's also really distinct. Like, I feel that if you're using your relationships as a way, it's all very like fluid and like not very easy to see, but grades is literally on paper how well you've done. It's one of the only places that your success is literally written down and like marked out of 100 or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like actually marked, like you've got a grade back and it's like a tangible view of success and essentially control.
It almost feels like that you can draw quite a parallel between that and the way that you could validate yourself or like attack yourself, kind of berate yourself about weight, in the way that you can...
Yeah, that there are numbers attached.
There are numbers involved, and there's not really much of life where there are numbers involved. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, those are very specific ways that you can also not only analyze yourself, but directly compare yourself to the information that you may or may not have about somebody else.
Do you remember we did a post, this was ages and ages and ages ago, and we were saying that if there is like a numerical value attached to your success, it probably is not success.
Yeah, money, weight.
If you can attach a number, it's not success. That's like a societal...
Construct,
yeah.
Because also, who gave you that number? Fair enough, the scales gave you a number, but the society told you what to make of that number. Mm. Your teacher told you that they decided that you only get 35 out of 100. It's all completely subjective.
And all the things that are real in life, as we always say, the only thing that's real is love when we're being really annoying.
Yeah.
Or like happiness or power. power and all the things that bring about success and like an easy life or happiness and an easy life are not tangible. You can't say, oh, well, right now my love in my life is getting an A star, so it's doing great.
Mm.
But yeah, you get that with your maths test.
And we say this all the time, like if your barometer for measuring success is based in something that society told you, you A, will never achieve it, and B, if you do, you'll still be miserable.
Because this society is bullshit, as we have said time and time and time again.
Yeah.
This is not a good place. So don't measure your stuff on this.
Yeah, well, your weight could be perfect, but your grades would still be off. You might get perfect grades, but your money and financial situation is not going to be spot on. The minute you've achieved something, quote unquote, achieved something, you'll be straight onto the next thing because your ideas are vapid.
Or even if you have achieved it, you've been striving and striving to get a thigh gap. Next week, oh no, we want thick thighs now.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I fucked up there. Whatever you're striving for is not real. We're already starting existential this time.
Yeah, but it's so fucking true. It's like the classic, it's just what we go on and on and on about. So how did we learn that?
I think we learned it the hard way.
Yeah.
I learned it the hard way. I definitely think throughout my life, I have put a lot of emphasis on like academic achievement. I mean, we've spoken about this. This was years and years and years ago. That I definitely had like, when I came out of school, I wanted to study English and I was like, oh my God, I have to go to like a Russell Group uni.
Does anyone remember that terminology? A Russell Group uni? If you're not from the UK or you're not familiar with what a Russell Group university is, I believe it was a group of about 20 universities.
Yeah.
Mostly the older ones. And it was said to be this kind of esteemed group for higher education where there was a certain stamp of approval, not physically, nothing tangible, but just kind of a nod with your interviewer or kind of your parents would smile a little bit wider if you got into one of those versus one of the newer or maybe just less esteemed universities, quote unquote. But it's actually, I mean, we're not new in saying this, it's a dying concept.
Yeah, well, university as a whole is a dying construct, and to be honest, I would say borderline already dead construct. Well, if it wasn't already dead, coronavirus just truly killed it.
Oh, absolutely. So, sorry, can we all also just note? So we're going to be paying full bang, but getting no bang for our buck, going to Cambridge University at home. You're having me on. I don't get to go to a single lecture, no? You're winding me up. Shut the fuck up.
It's truly, but you do get the name on your CV or whatever, you're looking to write that down somewhere. And I have seen it quite a lot with people that, for example, work in places that sound good, constantly referring to that place, and it's almost like
you need the stamp of approval of a big institution.
Yeah, like this institutionalized idea of success leads nowhere. It really does lead nowhere. And I definitely think when I came out of school, I'd been essentially fed, or I had developed myself a borderline obsession with like, I need to go to one of these places or I've failed already, written my life off.
If you're not familiar with Seffi had already failed a few times apparently, because she said at 8 years old, if I'm not in Doctor Who by the time I'm 9 years old, I should die or something.
I wrote myself a note famously that said, if you're not an actor in Doctor Who by the time you're 12 or something, just give up. And I hid the note for myself to be found when I was like 15 and thought, failure.
So we should be quite familiar with Seffi's
all or nothing ideologies.
Exactly, yeah.
Kind of, if I don't do this, then I must just give up.
With like an insane time constraint too.
Yeah, totally.
Like we're constantly working against the clock when we're with Seffi.
Yeah, so I had a whole, if you do not get into, there was one uni that I really wanted to go to, Exeter University, which
we're going
to
name and shame.
We are, and I don't know what it was about them, because when I went there, I remember being unimpressed with the vibe, but I was like, right, okay, I've got an interview at Oxford Uni, like it was a whole like big fucking thing, but I was like, Exeter, that's the one for me. And I was so arrogant, I didn't put an insurance choice. So you're supposed to, when you do a uni application, you pick one and then you pick another one just in case you don't get the one of your dreams. And I was like, absolutely not, I've 100% got this, I'm not gonna put an insurance.
It's pretty mad of you.
Which is, to be honest, unheard of.
It is pretty unheard of, yeah, considering how formulaic the whole, again, UK-based like UCAS process is. To apply to university in the UK at school age is very much like a formula, and the teachers will have you follow it. And yeah, Seffi was there shaking her head, no, guys, I've got that, don't worry about it, I'll handle it.
I was like, guys, don't even talk to me, like,
don't stress, do you see where this is going?
You see, yeah, I'm building it up, you see where this is going. Someone's about to get their heart crushed. And so I was little arrogant me. Look, guys, I've got it. I'm already in this uni. Like, it's all good. All I needed to get was 2 A's and a B. Easy. English literature, of course I'll get an A.
You were picking out your bed sheets. You were like Google Mapsing the city.
I'm ready for this. Like, I've got this. And also had literally been to this uni once, knew nothing about the course. Like, really insane dream. Like, based on nothing, essentially, other than just like insecurities. And like, I have to get this marker of success. On comes results day.
Oh, God.
You log onto this thing called UCAS. Which is like, gives you your, like, did you get in or not? Log on. No, you did not get in. Heart crushed. Utterly crushed.
And what does it say? Word for word, it's like, unfortunately, we...
You have not been successful. Yeah. You have not been successful.
Oh, that's quite gutting. You have not been successful. That's horrid.
You are a failure.
Yeah, exactly. They've literally gone onto thesaurus.com and typed in failure and gone on the antonym. Okay, you haven't been successful. I never said you're a failure. I just said you haven't literally been that. Successful. That's awful. So fucking rude. Also, how dare some kind of 45-year-old man be typing that out in his little code, sending it out to poor 18-year-old girls? It's an act of violence.
Yeah, you've not been accepted or something. You are unacceptable in society.
You are unwanted, unworthy.
You are worthless. You, by the way, did I tell you you're ugly? You're really ugly as well. You're too ugly for this uni.
Did I mention that boy actually doesn't like you, by the way? I don't know if he told you yet, but he doesn't.
Your family have never loved you. You're worthless. You know when you think you're worthless? Oh yeah, you are actually. But yeah, so I sent my mum in to go get my results. I was like, I'm not fucking showing my face in this town ever again.
What was the first thing that went through your head?
Almost like the mortification
of,
I was so sure, so arrogant, and it's like, babe, it hasn't paid off.
This is a hard lesson to learn. It's honestly a harsh lesson I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
I wish it on myself, though. I really, really, truly believe I needed this so badly, or I would have just been constantly striving for like that institutional stamp of success. Like, I really think it was so weirdly the best moment of my life. Not at the time, but one of the best things.
It led you right to me.
It did. It really did. And it just led me to my happiest place on earth, Brighton. But yeah, so sent my mum in and got the grades back. And so I needed AAB and I got ABB. And I was one UMS mark off the grade that I needed to go. But that means it's like 1/5 off a mark off the thing, which to me was just like so aggravating.
So cruel.
But now I see it as such a, like, in my kind of woo-hoo mind, as just like
such a sign.
But yeah, so I definitely think I had to learn this the hard way, and I definitely continued this with like doing kind of unpaid internships at like big places because I believed it made me seem cool or powerful or something.
Where it's, you're getting nothing but the name.
You get nothing but the name.
You're getting not only no money, no respect.
No, and you're treated awfully, and it's just like the most classist thing anyway to be able to do an unpaid internship. It's absurd that they exist, and everything, to be honest, that I stand against. I definitely was searching for some kind of like number or name to put themselves behind me. And I just think over the last 3 years of uni and everything, I just learned so much about like success and all of that. It's like, it's all bollocks. I'm just like letting go of your like life plan.
Yeah,
I think that's it. I had such a strict plan, like with the, you're going to be an actress on Doctor Who, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. It's like,
by this date you will have graduated from X to uni and X, Y, and Z, and
it's like, you can't have these plans because they never work out, and that is the best thing when they don't work out
completely. Because also it's like, as much as that was your plan and it was a very specific plan to have, I think that's quite common, and I think that's what we do as people, is we get served a life plan. Depending on who or where you are, society tells you you should look like this, act like this, marry this person, have these children, go to this university, get this job. And within that very broad outline, we will funnel in kind of what we thought was quite glamorous, or what we thought was the most kind of admirable, you know, thing in the world to strive for.
You just find a random marker that tells you, oh,
success looks like Exeter Uni.
Yeah, or success looks like a size 8. Any of these things.
And Exeter Uni might be a success for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Or kind of, it could be anything. For example, the randomness of an actress on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
No one else views that as anything. But it, for me, that was, I must be this when I was 12. And it's just, it shows you how meaningless the marker is, because it's constantly moving and it's utterly meaningless because no one gives a fuck. The worst thing you can be in life, one of the worst things you can be, is someone that is constantly referring to an institution that has claimed you.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassing trait.
Oh, shots fired.
It's a very unlikable trait, I must say.
It is, because it's not a trait of your own. It's not a trait of your own doing. It's just like we've all succumbed to being a number then, essentially, in the way that we just look for these numbers for validation.
And it's a real lack of understanding of capitalism. It's like you haven't comprehended what you exist within. And obviously, as an 18-year-old, how on earth are you supposed to comprehend that? And of course, if you went to Oxford and you're really happy about the fact you went to Oxford, or you really are striving to go to Oxford, of course you just see Oxford as a place of worth because you've been told that, or being pretty as a place of worth because you're told that every day of your life, every minute of your life. But I think it's about seeing beyond that and like understanding that, does it actually bring you happiness? No, because it's unmeasurable.
Completely. I completely agree. I also think just that whole sentiment is similar to just our bigger idea of letting go. Your background on your phone, Seffi, if I remember rightly, is a subliming post that says, don't try to steer the river.
How funny that just relates to that whole story so much. Because yeah, my literal background on my phone, it has been this since, I think I said it in third year of uni.
Ages, yeah.
So that's over a year, has been this quote that just, it's like, I mean, subliming posts are just so aesthetic.
So beautiful.
And they've got a highlight, subliming.jpg, I think they're called on Instagram.
Yeah.
They have a highlight that's like loads of wallpapers, and they are all so aesthetic and just like very cool. But this one says like, don't try to steer the river. And I just thought, oh, fucking hell, like that's it. And my dad always says this as well to me. I think it's like, I think I'm quite known for like trying to construct a plan and be like, well, where are we in 2 years? I think it's probably my Capricorn.
I always say to you, your script writing, you try and give people their lines, and then when they're not saying the lines back to you, like, why are they not in character?
Yeah, I do this all the time.
This isn't how the episode was supposed to go.
I do it a lot on like dates and stuff where I'm like, so I'll say hello, then he'll say hello, how are you? And you'll say, I'm good, thank you. And then they'll go in and be like, you're right, oh my god, blah 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 blah. And I'll be like, what?
I didn't prepare for this.
And I'll go in with, I am good, thank you. Yeah. How are you?
yeah.
It's awful. But yeah, the thing my dad always says to me is that time is passing without your control. Without you doing anything, time is passing. You can either choose to do stuff or not do stuff. Things are going to happen anyway. Like, you can't control any of it. It's all going to happen anyway. You can just decide how you react in the moment.
And that's literally it. And it goes back to two things that we, Seffi and I, have already said today, but this is the first time you'll hear it. Well, at least from us. So what a coincidence if someone's already said this to you today. That is a big sign from the universe. The two things I'll say is, one that we said earlier about be intentional with your life.
Yeah.
And the second is...
I have no idea where this is going either.
And the second we say all the time is, you're going to worry and stress about something that you think is going to happen. If it happens, now you've stressed about it twice.
Yeah. If you worry about something, you're putting yourself through it twice.
Exactly.
I think is the thing.
You're going to stress and stress and stress about your exam. You haven't done any revision. That exam's still going to come. And now you've got the stress of the exam actually being here. So where you could have just lived your life peacefully and then had a little bit of stress on the day of the exam. Oh, no. We've had 9 months of stress where you've been stressing, oh my god, I need to pay my rent. Your rent's still gonna fucking come, so we're gonna be intentional and do something about it.
If you're someone that has quite a bit of like anxiety, that's kind of like, you kind of love to be in control of situations, I think the overthinking is one of the most damaging things you can do.
The thought of something is always more dramatic than the reality.
You're running through worst case scenarios, blah blah blah, and the second you're there, it's like, oh, it's nothing. And then you're done, you're like, oh, I wasted my day.
It's like, I always think The thought of getting with someone is always better than the reality.
That's fucking true.
Going back to our old episode, like, the fantasy of like having sex with someone would always be better than the reality of like one night stand with them.
Because you build it up your own way and it's your narrative.
Yeah, you dramatize things in your head. Exactly.
It's basically a film that you were the director, the actor and the writer.
Executive producer, yeah. The cinematographer, the whole thing was you.
The costume department.
Mark Jacobs.
It's that scene in Mr. Bean's Holiday, if you know, where it's like directed by blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Written. It's either your worst nightmare or your dreamiest dream.
Yeah.
Because it's all of your own creation. So you know how, God, you know how to stress about something. I know you do. I'm not talking to you, Seffi. I'm talking to you listening.
Yeah. Well, I do as well.
And me too.
He's like, who doesn't?
What a trio we are. The Three Musketeers.
The Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity of stress. Actually, if you just don't try to steer the river, the iconic quote, it's literally like, the river is flowing. Anyway, the river has had a predestined path that is going, it's going to follow. You're trying to say, no, come over here though. It's like, no, there's a current that you don't know about in that corner over there that's going to take it.
Yeah, there's a reservoir just perfect for you around the corner, around the river bend that you've got no idea about.
It's like, just don't try to steer it. Like, it actually nothing to do with you. It's actually none of your beeswax.
Yeah, honestly, wind your neck in. It's none of your beeswax.
Literally, it's nothing to do with you what happens in your life. It really isn't. That's the most liberating thought.
It really isn't.
You have no control over it. We said this in a few episodes back, that all the main things, all the big things in my life that have happened were nothing to do with me, which is kind of the most iconic thing, that it's like, actually all the decisions that I stressed and stressed and stressed over never happened, or just never were anything, or didn't lead to anything. Whereas all the things that I didn't even think about would turn out to be the biggest and best things that happened in my life.
Monumental.
So there we go. Fuck it. Fuck. You gotta let it go, let it go. Something, something anymore. What's the lyric? Let it go.
Can't hold it back anymore.
Can't hold
it
back.
Do you want to build a snowman? Should we go into some embarrassing ringtones, by the way?
Let's do embarrassing ringtones, because okay, quick round of embarrassing ringtones. I wish we had a little jingle.
Stunning. One that I wanted to give an honourable mention, because this wins in my mind, because I've used it against you, Seffi, to win
the game of embarrassing ringtones.
To win the game. This one I thought was hilarious, because it's the intro. You basically, to win the game, it needs to be either a quite obscure or notable intro, or kind of a song from the top 40 of 2013.
Yeah.
And this one I think is so good. And I think it's hilarious because they said that their mum has this ringtone.
Oh my God.
And it's Thrift Shopping, Macklemore. Because the beginning is, hey Macklemore, can we go thrift shopping? Bum, bum, bum. I'm sick. I'm vomiting.
Hey, Macklemore.
How bad is that? How bad? Because some songs, it's like you've got a little bit of a kind of musical accompaniment before the singing starts, so you can quickly answer it. But something like that, there's no way.
Hey, Macklemore, can we go thrift shopping?
In the middle of a seminar.
Oh my God.
You're looking around thinking, whose phone is that? It's not mine. Sorry.
That's so bad.
There's no way out.
One that someone said something by this singer, but I thought of my own one.
You're riffing on it.
Riffing, you know, and I just thought this one would be bad. that song, and we all just wanna be big, because the start's like, I've been standing in line.
Oh my God.
Like the tone of the voice.
Oh my God. Nickelback.
Yeah, it's like, I'll be standing in line.
Is it Nickelback?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just that, it was like, in a bathroom we can play baseball.
Baseball in. Wow, that's bad. That's awful. There's no way out.
No, that's like, you have to throw your phone in a river at that point. Like, that can
never... You're dropping out of uni. You're quitting your job.
That was awful.
Never to be seen again. Someone else said that their mum... Again, your mums have quite embarrassing ringtones, which is funny. Someone's mum's ringtone that goes off in Asda, apparently, is Sweat by Snoop Dogg.
That's bad. That's
quite bad if it's the explicit version. I just want to make you wet. It's like, why is that coming from that woman's phone?
I just want to make you wet. That's so bad.
Jack and I were having dinner once with his niece, and Jack was just like, Alexa, shuffle songs by Snoop Dogg. And his niece is about, I don't know, like 12 at the time. And we were just eating, chomping away, and then it's just like, I just want to make you wet, bum, 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 bum. I just want to make you wet over and over again. It's like, so right. Like, at what point do I kind of look around and go, like, Alexa, stop.
Stop. Alexa, turn the
Alexa,
volume
can
off.
You turn it down?
Yeah, literally.
Alexa, skip.
Yeah, honestly, skip. There was a really good one. Oh my God, this one made me laugh. Someone said, oh my God, mine is the Sex and the City theme song. Is that embarrassing? Be honest. And I'm going to be honest and say, yeah. Because that's like, it's like, dun, 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 dun. It's like, I always used to have a thing with the Sex and the City theme tune with my sister, where I'd be like, try and sing it. It's like one of those things, you can't sing it. You
can't catch the melody.
It's like, oh.
You know what's a bad show? Worse than Sex and the City?
Mm.
Zoe 101. Are you ready?
Ooh. I know you see me standing
here. Do I look good, my dear?
I always thought that's a shit lyric. Do I look good, my dear?
Today.
If you want.
Iconic song.
Yeah, that's really bad. What's the Drake and Josh one? How does that start? That would be bad.
Oh, fuck.
I'm Googling Drake and Josh theme tune. Oh, no, I know it. I don't even need to see it. I never thought that it'd be so simple, but...
That's not too bad, because it's kind of... It can be ironic.
It's a meme, isn't it? Yeah.
It needs to be something that can never be ironically funny.
Zoe 101 is bad because it's niche, but Sex and the City is kind of like... It's also bad because it's like, what is the tune of that song? I literally...
I need to hear it. I'm not familiar.
It's like... You just couldn't, you couldn't sing it. This is the problem. If anyone can sing the Sex and the City theme tune, send us a voice note, because I actually think it's impossible to sing.
I would die.
I think it's impossible to sing. Another bad one that someone sent was, wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Whoa.
That's bad because that's it starts bad. Immediate. It's, wake
yeah.
up in the
You've got no time yeah. to quickly be like, is that my phone ringing? Shit. The volume's still low. It's like, no, we're coming in strong.
It's bad as well. Brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Ooh, before you know it is. And tucking pedicures on her toes. Toes, the beat has dropped.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
my
bad.
God.
That
awful.
One's really... Honestly, before you know it, you're in deep in Kesha. TikTok on the...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well... HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot of people said Crazy Frog, and I agree, that's awful.
That is bad. That has same energy as Spider Pig.
Yeah, it does. Like, ring, ring.
They're
yeah.
coming from a similar vibe. Yeah.
Basically, keep these coming. Keep whenever you think of them, just DM us, because it's honestly the best game of all time.
Yeah. Whenever you're having a down day, just think, at least I'm not in a seminar with Crazy Frog.
Oh my god.
Blasting out of my phone. Not even also quite funny to do. Not just a ringtone, but you open your laptop in a lecture, and there's a YouTube video playing. What's the most embarrassing YouTube video to be playing?
I had this. This was really bad, actually. One of my first ever lectures, and it was with my housemate. We were in a lecture together, which we were never in. We had been Googling, I don't know what this was. We were Googling extra large condoms. But I don't know what the reasoning was. I reckon we were going to fill them with water or something. Like, I don't know why we'd be getting specifically extra large.
God, that's quite bad.
It's like quite a niche thing to get.
And then it's like, you're really giggling and it's like, God, like, are you...
Yeah, children. Full children. Because also it was on one of those quite tiered lecture seating things, and it was like she was trying to close it so quickly, and like
you've got full access to everyone's screens.
It's like you could see it in a dark, because it was like a cinema lecture, like it was on like global cinema or something, and it was like dark
and it's just glowing
extra large, and it's like, why the specificity, why extra large, like why were you googling extra large?
Fuck,
it's like a bit arrogant to be googling that.
Yeah, that's it's a bit like try hard. It's a bit like, do you think you're yeah it's a bit, are you 15 years old?
We were googling it for all the funny reasons and it looked like all the bad reasons. It was bad.
I was in a seminar once and this girl opened her laptop and it was on a Dan and Phil video.
Oh my god.
Bearing in mind, I wasn't at uni that long ago. Like, this is recent. Also, no so shade to Dan and Phil, but it's just hilarious.
She's honestly got the whiskers drawn on her face. She's like, meow, raw.
Truly.
That's so bad. Thing is, I never was a Dan and Phil girl, but I definitely fancied Dan.
Same.
Definitely fancied
Same.
Dan.
And I thought his coming out video was...
Amazing.
I think the best I've ever seen. Not that they functioned to be rated by me, but I did think it was great.
Yeah, it kind of revived my love for him a little bit. But I definitely used to fantasize about him like a little bit, kind of like...
I love them playing Sims.
Yeah. They had like Dan and Phil games or something, like Play or something. Yeah.
And they play a Sim called Dill.
Yes. Oh my God, I definitely... watch these.
Dill.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's a combo of their names. Yeah, I can't remember, but anyway, and there's a really funny episode where Dill sets everything on fire anyway, and I was properly laughing. It's fair enough. It's a fair enough choice to be sat in a lecture watching Dan and Phil.
Dan and Phil, I don't know if it is though. I don't know if it is at 22 or whatever to be watching Dan and Phil in a lecture.
To be watching Dan and Phil games is quite specific. But also, it's not just the moment where they open their laptop and it's on the video. It's the moment where you see them close it.
Yeah.
It's like, get that mouse straight on that X. Get out of here.
The urgency at which the mouse moves across the screen, it's like, yeah, it needs to be gone.
Shouldn't be seen by another human.
Dan and Phil. Oh my, any YouTube is embarrassing at that point. Anything's mortifying.
Yeah, you shouldn't be on YouTube. If there's something about YouTube that it's just like, that's very private.
Yeah, no one can see my subscriptions.
I was going to say, it's a very private list.
Me and Lizzie, I went on my sister's YouTube the other day and we were watching like a YouTube video together and it was like, subscribe to like Jim Chapman. And it's like, Lizzie, this is embarrassing.
It's bizarre.
It's like, why are you subscribed to Jim Chapman?
But it's also a weird, it's a very intimate experience to watch YouTube with someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. To let them into your subscription box.
With TV, you can watch it with anyone. We're not fussed. But YouTube almost feels like it was made for you. Just your eyes only.
You have very personal relationships with everyone, much like listening to this is quite an intimate thing, I would imagine, in that you feel like you're in the convo with
them. We're doing, Harry, I now speak directly to you. You have 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour.
Oh, you have 1 hour. I definitely feel that when I listen to podcasts that they're my friends. And when I watch YouTube, I feel like they're my friends and all of this stuff. And I think it's so intimate. Like, you're with me, especially with a podcast, you're with us for an hour a week, essentially.
Yeah, you can't reveal us in the middle of your seminar.
Oh my God, no.
We're just for you. We're not for your ratty seminar pals.
Do you want to hear the worst thing that happened in a seminar that I was in once?
Oh God, what?
This is like, this actually strikes me as probably the worst thing. Worse than an embarrassing ringtone. What? Worse than a Dan and Phil. So I was in a seminar and we walked in, this in the final year of uni, and it was an English seminar and we were studying this book that had like some Mexican writing in it, and someone had, the teacher had written on the board, okay, there's this Mexican phrase on the wall, and it's, they said, so can anyone by chance translate this, like, does anyone speak, can anyone speak this language, what does this say? It's like a Mexican book. Is it Spanish? Is that the language that I'm looking for?
Well, it would be, yeah, some language from Southern America, depending on whereabouts.
And it's like, can anyone speak this? Like, can anyone translate this? This guy at the back of the seminar, hand shot up in the air, and he just says, fuck to death. And the guy was like, no, sorry, it means build a wall.
Fuck to death.
Imagine, fuck to death.
What would ever possess you? First of all, what possesses you to raise your hand in a seminar when you don't have something incredibly profound to say?
And even if you speak full Spanish and you're like fluently, and you're like, that says fuck to death very clearly, I would be thinking, maybe I won't put my hand up and say fuck to death in the middle of a seminar. But also, so awful that it said build the wall.
Also, it would be a boy, wouldn't it? The levels of entitlement you have to feel, you have to be raised as a male in this patriarchal society.
Honestly, fuck to death. And it was like, hand straight down, head down, never to be seen again in the seminar.
You just can't show your face after that.
No.
You're getting fucked to death after that.
Also, to death, it's like, that's funny that you thought that would be a phrase that would be normal.
Fuck to death.
To death.
I do think that is something of note, though, that it obviously, let me guess, it's a little white boy.
Yeah, it was.
In what, was that an English seminar or a film seminar?
An English seminar, yeah.
Little white boy in an English seminar is 100% raising his hand to say fuck to death.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact, all of the other girls in the room are thinking about how they can validate themselves with their achievements, fucking learn whatever the book is that, do you know what I mean? Like,
and they can read it. They did a Spanish module and they can clearly read Build the Wall.
And they don't want to say.
And they think, I guess it was a Trump sort of thing. I don't really know what this was.
Yeah.
And they can read that it says build the wall. And they're thinking, no, I won't say. I know. And then they hear this fucking guy say fuck to death. It's like, oh my God, the arrogance that takes to say that in a seminar is,
imagine,
insane.
I think it's just one of the most obvious examples of symptoms of the patriarchy where men feel
entitled to space.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It would be great if women felt entitled to space too. I'm not trying to take it away. I think it's funny to be ballsy and put your hand up and say fuck to death. But it's unfortunate that that's a luxury that hasn't been afforded to women or actual fucking Mexican people, not fucking white people putting their hands hands up saying fuck to death. It's like, actually, this is a very serious convo that we're having. It's a very serious discourse, and you've inserted yourself to say fucked to death.
Any minority is so aware of how they are taking up the space and how their voice should be minimized, and that it's almost not appropriate in a seminar to say the word fuck even. Mm-hmm. But with the arrogance at which that he put his hand up and the word fuck just came out of his mouth so easily, like he just owns the room, it's like, okay, that's really, really ballsy. And it was appropriate in an English seminar, like it was very...
But even if it wasn't, there's a lack of consequence. It's funny, this reminds me actually, just thinking about how different people feel differently about taking up space, etc., just essentially how different we are when it comes to validating ourselves. I thought this was really interesting what someone said, because I know that you and I, Seffi, have different approaches to this, or different experiences with this. So they said, a way that they validate themselves, or the way that they get validation, is by posting something on social media.
Oh, wow.
And from my experience, that feels very foreign to me, but I remember you said it in a past episode, I think, maybe you just said it to me, and I just immediately think that everything in our friendship is monetized.
Yeah, actually.
But you said that you have done, or have known of people, that if you're feeling a bit down, or like, for example, if someone's feeling a bit down about the way they look, they'll post like a selfie, or like post a pic of them looking good. Whereas I would do the opposite. I would disappear off socials. And I do frequently.
Frequently, yeah. Not even that I would do that, but I completely understand the logic behind doing that. And I know I've seen people do it. I've been with people when they're like, oh, I'm going to post something.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like posting something, because they obviously are feeling a bit like, oh, it'd be nice to get a load of likes. And I completely understand that. I think also I do definitely dip out of social media when I'm feeling shit, because I know it's not a good place, because it's not a good place apart from our platform, which is great.
The best thing about social media, let's be honest, is us.
It's us. And all the amazing people that I follow.
Like me.
Yeah, literally. All the people that I know, including this one person, right? Wing. Yeah, so I definitely do dip out myself, but I do understand the impulse to make yourself more public, in the way that when I am anxious, I put on a show. Like, I think there are two ways that you can deal with stress, essentially, or like control, or like a need to control an inability to let go, is you can either become more and be like quite outrageous and like you walk into the room like, hi guys, or you can walk in timid. And I think I lean more towards putting on the show.
Same.
Which is similar to then posting on social media, which I understand, but I don't know whether I actually do that specific behavior.
I just remember the first time that it must have been someone again on the space said that they did that, and you were like, yeah, that happens all the time. And I was like, fuck, I've never...
It's definitely a thing.
It was, yeah, not a concept that I'd ever thought about.
It's kind of like someone's boyfriend breaks up with them and then they post loads of like bikini photos.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, of course you do that, because you want to, you're going into performance mode. Suddenly you're an actor, you're Meryl Streep, you're like collecting your Oscars. Like, yeah. I'm having an absolute whale of a time. Because I remember definitely people, when their boyfriends broke up with them, they were like, oh my God, well, I need to post things on Instagram. Like, I need to have Instagram stories up the whole time. And I was like, what? Just block them. Like, why are you performing for someone? And they were like, oh no, definitely you'll do this as well. And I was like, I don't think I will though.
Or I hope I won't.
And I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I would much rather have an internal struggle than have an external performance going on. I think it's a mad behavior that, you know, when people say like, if you're holding on to jealousy, you're only holding on to something that burns yourself, or something like that. Or if you're holding on to resentment.
Yeah, holding on to is like hot coal. You'll only burn yourself.
Like that, with doing these like public performances on your story, like, I'm out all the time, I'm filming the fucking festival, I'm taking pictures and I'm making sure that other boys are in them so that he knows that I am seeing other boys and all of this stuff. It's like, you're only hurting yourself, because then you're checking who's viewed it and all of this stuff, and he's not looking.
And it's very transparent. It's so fascinating how we overcompensate, and it goes back to the classic your mum's genius of imagined audience.
Yeah, it's a genius phrase.
You really think that you have a whole audience just waiting for your next move on social media. It's like, actually, I didn't realize that you hadn't posted in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and it's the imagined audience of truly the best phrase ever that I use all the time.
No one views your story more than you do. I'll sit all day viewing my own bloody story. I said to you the other day, Seffi, that I put something on the story and I said, I've honestly watched this about 400 times. I need to clip off of it now. It's like a bit much.
It's a problem, isn't it? But do you ever do it where where you watch something, like your own personal story, or like go through your feed even, and you're viewing it from a specific pair of eyes. Like you'll see that sort of this person in your story has seen it, and you'll view it from their perspective, and then you'll find someone like, oh my god, like this person watched it, oh I wonder what they thought, and you'll watch it again through their eyes. It's like a really odd behavior. It's so self-indulgent.
I know, Sefi, you and I have noted this before about how back in the day when I was like 11 on Facebook, I would very much post for me, even though I knew that like my aunts and uncles would see it, but I thought they were irrelevant and this was my circle, so I wasn't worried about putting on a show or giving a performance for what they would want to see on my Facebook through their eyes. Now, as I've got older and the social media etiquette has changed and grown over time, I definitely went through a phase and am more aware of it now, where I do think people in our generation now feel like we're the peripheries.
Yeah.
Versus when you first met social media, if you're in this, you know, the same generation as us, which you probably are, and if you're not, thank you for being here. Yeah, when you were first introduced to fucking MySpace, it very much felt like your aunts and uncles were the peripheries of that, and you were the center of MySpace. Whereas now it's like, you feel like you're the peripheries of Instagram, because you are, because Kylie Jenner is the center of Instagram, for example.
Yeah, totally. And you're always, we say it all the time, you're looking at pictures of a party that you'll never be invited to.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of centering yourself with this whole narrative, like, be the main character, be that you're the main character in your own life, blah, blah, blah. It's like Instagram is engaging in the absolute opposite behavior unless you're monetizing your Instagram. I think you, if you're using Instagram to share your own stuff, like for example you're sharing your artwork, or you're, for example, have a podcast or whatever you do, then you are centering yourself in a way that makes yourself and other people very uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's still dangerous, because then maybe even more than the average consumer of Instagram, you are seeking validation through social media, which is always tricky.
Horrific. If you get your validation
essentially through anything,
from anything that is external,
yeah,
you're fucked. Should we talk about like for example, where do you get your validation from, do you think?
Let me just sit with that for a sec. I think I get my validation from lots of different places. I think I get my validation a lot from my sense of identity.
Yeah.
And so whatever fits in my, from my perception of what is my identity, I'll feel validated by. And I think that's when we feel most shaken up as people, is when it feels like your identity is being shaken a bit. So for example, if you always felt like the smartest in the room,
yeah,
Hamilton reference, but yeah, if you always felt like the smartest in the room and then you go into a new job, for example, and you are in a team where you very much are functioning as now the underdog, all of that validation you'd previously built,
it's scrapped,
could be shattered to smithereens. Yeah, and you're the scrappy dappy do, and meanwhile Scooby and Fred are ruling the roost and you have no means of keeping up. Or you were the Daphne and you move into a new space and you're now the fucking Velma, there's another hot girl, and it's like, oh fuck. Where does your validation come from?
Oh, I was about to go on a whole thing about Scooby-Doo. Good thing you steered me off. where does my validation come from? I definitely agree with like sense of identity, but it's even more like that. It's not even when I don't see it reflected. It's almost like if I catch myself behaving in a way that doesn't align with my sense of identity,
or someone tells you otherwise,
that throws me the most. For example, if I'm thinking, oh, I'm the hot one, and I walk in and I'm suddenly very clearly not the hot one, I have the knowledge in my own mind, but I am. But then, if then I catch myself in a way I think I'm really funny and I say something that I believe is really not funny and really awful, that's worse. That's like,
cringe.
Oh, you idiot.
Everyone's like, killed it.
And then you're like, oh, I'm not funny. Fuck. Yeah, that's bad.
You know how sometimes we say you're walking a tightrope, depending on the day, the thread that you walk on could be very thick and fat and stable and secure and you're completely balanced, or you're walking this tightrope and it's a very teensy tiny thin scrap of string and one gust of wind and you're knocked off. So because that to me sounds like it's not necessarily someone saying to you, oh, you're not the hot one today, or you're not funny today. That's like just on the off chance that whatever happened to you that day set your perception of yourself slightly off, and one small moment could be taken very differently, because you could make the exact same joke and it land the exact same way on a different day and you'll be thinking, god, I'm fucking Ricky Gervais.
I think it's so true. I mean, the tightrope is something that we always come back to, in that I think true happiness, success, and all of these things is having a very wide tightrope, which kind of is about saying that, like, no matter what you're thrown in the day, you have a basis that allows you a bit of give. Like, say someone kind of spits in your coffee one day, something crazy happens. You don't go, oh, it's because I'm fucking horrible and ugly, and of course this would happen, and I'm disgusting and I'm evil and all of these things. This would happen. It's my karma. You go, that was fucking weird that that just happened. I'll move on. I'll get another coffee.
I can't wait to talk about this on my amazing podcast.
Yeah.
This ridiculous story.
It's about having a different, you just have a bit of give in your life. If something bad happens, it's not directly about you. Whereas if your tightrope's very thin, you're constantly on the edge, constantly wavering and wobbling off the edge. And it's like one person can like look at you the wrong way and you're falling off the tightrope down the fucking dark hole and you're in despair all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But actually it's, that is happiness or success or whatever, because I don't think it's about these markers of when I've got this job, then I'm in a constant state of happiness. Bad things are always going to be thrown at you. Stressful things are always going to be thrown at you. But if you've got a wide tightrope, a wide sort of, to be honest, a big sense of self-esteem, a decent sense of self-esteem, you're okay. Your contentment will last longer.
How have you built that? How do you widen your tightrope? How do you validate yourself?
From learning. For example, the Exeter thing, when I didn't get into Exeter, my tightrope was very thin at that moment. At that point, as an 18-year-old girl, my tightrope was very thin. And all that it took was to not get into the university that I wanted, and I was spinning down into despair. And in those moments, you really do have nothing other than yourself to build yourself up, and you do have to find the building blocks on your own and build up with things that you do like from having experiences that knock you so much, knock your confidence, your self-esteem, and all of these things, and having to build with real things. Because I was holding, to be honest, my tightrope was built out of like fucking spaghetti.
Yeah.
And now it's made out of fucking stone. It's like a bridge now. Building it with real shit rather than like ridiculous things like
the scraps that you find.
That boy texted me.
Like, this boy once said that
you're walking on spaghetti.
It's like, that's not going to build sustainable.
That's not good. You need to be building a bridge right now. What about you? I love this extended metaphor, by the way, of the tightrope. So stunning.
It's like a tightrope, a bridge, spaghetti, food, scrappy do.
But it's all actually just your self-esteem. What about you, though?
I can't think of really a way that I validate myself apart from looking at the reviews that you guys leave us. Imagine the cheek
literally
of it.
That is, it is validating. We always fucking talk about the reviews in that they are just so kind.
I was crying my bloody eyes out the other week in my car on my own, and I'm not afraid to say it. And I was crying, but I was also kind of laughing, thinking, you've probably just like listened to an episode and thought, oh, I feel quite bad for them, I'll leave them a review. I'll be nice. Go on, I've got 5 minutes, I'll do it. And they leave a lovely little review, and lo and behold, I'm crying my eyes out. Cut to, I'm shedding real tears.
Real water.
Because they're just sweet.
Yeah, they're really sweet. Like, full bodily functions are happening, like full sobbing.
Full sobs.
Over something that someone wrote in 2 seconds. It's really sweet. They're just kind. Basically, it's not even just the reviews, it's the DMs, it's everything. That is, I always think it's borderline dangerous validation, in that I feel very validated. For example, right now, there's no one else here, it's me and you convo, which I fucking live for. We live for these conversations. But then it's also this, on top of that, the validation of like, there are people listening to us talking now in the future. Like, God knows where you are when you're hearing this voice right now.
It's bizarre.
It's like, that's validating in a weird way, but it's borderline, like,
it's dangerous, because that's not coming from us. That's you. Our sense of self is completely in your hands. Are you listening?
It must not be external.
In your hands. And I'm not happy about it. I'm crying.
You could snip the tightrope at any moment. Snip, snip that spaghetti.
Yeah.
So don't you dare. But it's a weird borderline between external and internal. Like, the internal is so kind of joyful, I guess, of us like creating this thing, and it's really fun, and it's like really from ourselves. But the external is like the likes, the follows, the DMs, the fucking sponsors, all of that is just like, ah,
the numbers,
the number game. And that is where you must not, we must not get trapped, because that's just like
distraction
from actually truly what this is, which is thoughts and what the fuck is this? Thoughts and
I think it really comes back to being intentional. This is my whole new thing. I'm gonna ride this out for the next kind of 6 episodes. You won't stop hearing me say this. Be intentional. life-changing. Also, it's not the first time I've heard it, but I don't know why it's just hitting different this time. I think I got lost. I think I got lost crying. I think...
In your car.
I think I did get a bit lost. I think I got a bit passive.
Yeah.
And was living unintentionally. I was kind of like, oh, look, there goes another day. Oopsie. Kind of like, oh, just like stuck in the rhythms of life. Just like honestly conforming. This is recently, by the way. This is like a couple of weeks ago.
I definitely had this revelation when I was listening to a Solange song. And I think it says like, you're nothing without intention. Do nothing without intention.
Yeah.
I think it's like one of those ones that's like kind of a 7-second song.
Well, it just catches you. It's like, oh shit.
What we were saying just before we started recording when we were talking about intention, because clearly every convo is a podcast convo. Insane. Fully insane.
We are insane.
embarrassing. But I think it's like, we were saying about like even drinking your tea. You're drinking a cup of tea and before you know it, you finish your cup of tea and it was just like blah, 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 blah. You've had a cup of tea. But actually it's like, I'm making myself a cup of tea because I want to drink a cup of tea. And every moment that you're drinking that cup of tea, you're thinking, yeah, I chose to do this. It's not just something that happened. Every single thing that you do has a reason, has a motive. It's fucking important to know it.
Yeah.
Like, why are we doing a podcast right now? Because we want to.
It's so true.
Not, sorry, it's this day of the week where we have to have one out by Monday. We've got to do, it's like, no, it's actually like an intentional decision.
We want to speak to you.
But also like a fine line between intention and control.
Because it comes back to whose intentions are they?
Love it. Whose intentions are they? So fucking true.
Because at the same time, someone could go to Sussex University and have the worst time of their life because it wasn't made for them.
Are they your mum's intentions who wants you to live this certain life? Are they your grandma's intentions that wants you to live this certain life? Are they your best friend's intentions who wants to go traveling and you also want to go traveling? You want to wear this outfit, but is that sort of Gokwan's intention that you copied?
Fucking hell, it's Trini and Susanna's. Honestly. Do we operate in 2006?
I think we do, actually.
It's like we recorded this in the September of 2005 and it's only now being released. Someone found it in a time machine. All of our references are so embarrassingly off.
So off. Stephen Mohan is the ultimate one.
You know what it is? It's you were cast in Doctor Who at 9 years old and you're going in your time machine, flitting back and forth and finding all of these podcast archives and releasing them.
And bringing them back, releasing them in 2020.
Shivers.
Why did they talk about Gokwan?
Bizarre.
I also went to a Gokwan book signing once.
Oh, you told me this before.
Really weird. That's it.
What happened? Oh, nothing.
That's it. We went to a Gokwan.
What was he wearing? What were you wearing? Did you wear something impressive?
I thought it was at the time, but it was my sister's coat and it wasn't very impressive. It's from New Look.
And what did it look like?
It looked like it was kind of grey and like checkered. It wasn't nice at all. And I think I was wearing, you know what I was wearing? 100% I was wearing Uggs. Ugg boots.
Wow.
Definitely. With like leggings, I'm guessing. With maybe like jeggings even.
Yeah, fucking hell. It was a time, wasn't it?
It really was a time. Kind of side fringe, big belt, bit kind of, it was like a little bomber jacket maybe. I definitely thought it was good.
I'm obsessed.
But when I look back on the pictures, I definitely remember thinking, God, you definitely should have washed your hair. Like it was a bit too greasy.
That's a bad look. Did you have the fringe?
Yeah, like you know when you had the side fringe.
Oh yeah, of course.
And it's almost like a bit of a, yeah, I definitely just remember thinking like...
Back then it kind of was a bit of a greased look, I feel. Greased.
It definitely was. Like I probably had like hairspray in it, but it wasn't looking good, I remember. Gokwan was unimpressed. So one of the stats, already boring, the thing that I thought on the story when we asked you the questions.
They're like, no, not the stats. Anything but the stats.
They're no longer called polls and they're no longer called stats. We're going to call them... We should come up with a fun name. If you can think of a fun name that we can call like the polls that we do, that would be good. So someone, we said, do you struggle with wanting to be liked by others? So family, peers and strangers, /strangers and or. And 85% of you are saying yes. And I think that's interesting. Yeah. It's like, do you struggle with that? And the vast majority want to be liked by everyone. Are we living authentically then? Are we trying to steer the river, as the famous quote goes, that everyone should set as their background, is on the subliming highlights. But are we all doing that?
And we absolutely are. I feel like I had quite a life-shaking lesson or just kind of mantra or like thing that I like to remember. It doesn't have to be dramatic.
Mantra. It's my mantra.
It's my life's work. It's like one passing thought. But I just got to a point where I thought for a second, like, if I look around this room... I don't really have many opinions on the majority of people here. Mm-hmm. And a few of them, I would even go as to say, I dislike them.
Yeah.
So why does it matter to me if this person that I actively dislike likes me or not? It's like, really, really doesn't matter. Fair enough, I can give up, you know, I can understand. If I really like or admire someone, I would want them, I mean, I would love them to feel the same way about me. But I absolutely do not give a fuck if the scrappiest of scrappy doos like me. I don't want to be liked by you. If anything, if you like me, I'm doing a bad job. I need my enemies to despise me. Otherwise, I'm not standing up for anything. I need to be making my opinions loud and clear.
Yeah, if you stand for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. If you stand for nothing,
Burr, what do you fall for? Another Hamilton reference. But it's true. It's like you need to actually be making people that you don't like feel funny about you. For example, a similar situation to that. I'm doing something at the moment, a poetry thing that I'm doing at the moment.
Steffi's a poet?
I'm a poet, guys.
Really though?
But I'm doing it with a group of people that I was looking around the room, the metaphorical Zoom room, and I was thinking, unimpressed. For the vast majority, there were some people that I think, yeah, you're fucking really cool.
You're very impressive.
I'm so impressed. So amazing. So stunning. The poetry is so stunning. But I also, for the vast majority, I was thinking, I don't like you. Then why am I so nervous to read my poetry in front of you? No, honey. And I think it is life-shaking to realise I'm unimpressed. They're allowed to be unimpressed back.
Yeah.
That is fine. That's allowed to happen. My sense of self doesn't get shaken by that. It should not get shaken by that. And I think everyone should carry that with them in that it's okay for people to be unimpressed or actively dislike you. You want to be disliked by the right people or the wrong people. You want a group of misogynists to hate you.
Absolutely. Absolutely that. And it comes back to our bigger argument about gender, in the sense that women so often are encouraged to be as palatable as possible, be as non-offensive, non-abrasive as possible, be quiet in your opinions. If anything, don't form them. You'd be better off if you just kept your mouth shut and sat pretty.
Be smaller, small, small, small. But then the man in the seminar can put his hand up ever so bravely and just say, fuck to death.
Absolutely not.
Like it's nothing. Whereas you've been thinking, oh my God, I looked a bit weird when I smiled at that person. No, fuck that.
The whole time you grew up in Mexico and you've heard this mantra, build the wall, so many fucking times, but you didn't dare put your hand up because it was embarrassing. So give yourself the space, because honestly, no one else will.
Yeah. And also, no one is watching. One of the best, most liberating lessons of life is that nobody is watching you. Nobody cares about you. No one gives a fuck about you.
No one gives a shit about you. Apart from us, we love you.
You need us.
We are all you have.
You need us right now. You need to give us a review right now.
Give us a review.
You need to maybe give us your money right now.
You'd be nothing without us.
Think about where you'd be without us. You're good friends. Steffi and Erin. It's fucking true. No one gives a fuck about you. And that is a good thing. The people that need to give a fuck about you, give a fuck. That your imagined audience, these people that you think are watching your story and liking your pics and kind of thinking, oh, I was thinking this the other day, I really want to start riding my bike because I have never ridden my fucking bike. And I was like, what the hell? It would be so good just to like pop into town on a bike. So easy. And I was thinking, what is actually the thing holding me back? Yeah, sure, in London, it's the fear of death is holding me back on a bike.
Yeah.
But when I'm at home, which I am right now, is in essentially the countryside, middle of nowhere, I can, of course, just cycle around and it's fucking safe as anything. But the thing that's stopping me is the thought that it's like, oh my God, like I'm riding a bike. Like, what if someone sees me?
It's like not hot.
Yeah, it's not a hot look, because 100% I'm having a helmet. Fuck that. Like, what? I can't. It's, yeah, 10 minutes for me to get into town, that means, rather than a fucking half an hour walk.
So you're going to get to your deathbed at whatever, 106 years old or whatever it was that you said, and you're going to think back and think, thank fucking God I didn't wear that helmet and get on that bike and I looked hot as fuck when I was 23 years old. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I believe that you can make it very fucking hot on a bike. I'm going to make this cool as hell.
The hottest thing in the world is you doing whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly. So I just think, fuck that. I'm not going to not ride a bike for that reason. That's insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
It's like no one's watching.
But the problem is we're raised to not have the scope to think critically in that way. It's crazy even that you've got to the point where you're thinking, hang on, I do want to ride a bike. Why have I not? Most people just think, yeah, I've got no interest in riding a bike. But it's like, you actually do, probably.
Yeah.
You've just convinced yourself that you don't, because it's easier, because it's not attractive or not normal, or it's easier to conform.
It's not attractive for girls to do it. A guy on a bike is, oh my God, he's just like carefree, rocks up on a bike.
Why do women's clothes not have pockets?
It's the same, because we've got nowhere to go.
Men need to be practical and carry things.
Because we should have a little purse.
Women have nothing to do, apparently.
Just enough to keep a little lipstick in. I honestly can't fucking bear it. So I think I'm now going to become helmet, bike, sort of.
An Olympian bike rider.
Yeah, I think I'm suddenly becoming that guy. What's his name? Who did the drugging thing. What's that cyclist called that drugged? It's a man that rode a bike. Oh, people are probably screaming at this. He was like a Olympic biker.
You're gonna do really well on a bike.
Yeah, I'm a biker.
You like get on your little bicycle with a big leather jacket,
Harley Davidson.
Like you're a biker gang.
But yeah. I also think it's like, why can't I rollerblade around a fucking park? Like, why am I not allowed to do this? Because it's not cool.
So true.
But I'm having these whole things of like all these things that you've stopped yourself from doing because you were told in year 8, oh no, the girls don't ride their bikes. The boys do, but the girls don't.
Or you just got the vibe.
Yeah, no one even said it. Just you noticed none of the girls were riding their bikes. And you just think, fuck, well, I wasted my life walking. I could be cycling.
Yeah.
I could be rollerblading. Am I mad?
You could have split that travel time in half.
All of the time that I've spent walking, trudging, I could have been actually rollerblading.
Yeah, through blistering winds and scorching desert.
Honestly, blistering winds.
Climb to the top of the tallest tower.
What is that?
It's Prince Charming in Shrek.
Oh my God, yeah. And his hair's going. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And I could have been literally roller skating. Am I an idiot?
You are, yeah. To be honest, we all are.
Yeah, we're all imbeciles. We should all start roller skating instantly.
I hope that this has been, to me, this would be something that I would need to hear. When I'm living quite passively, I need someone to jump down my earphones and scream at me to be intentional. So I hope we've done that for you in a nice way and we haven't shouted at you or made you feel uncomfortable at any point with the strange, bizarre references.
I hope you were okay with everything that you just experienced. I'm not even saying it's like, you need to start riding your bike. I'm saying I need to start riding my bike. It's like, we all need to start doing this. We all need to start thinking. Even like things like, oh, I'm just hanging out with the same people that I've always hung out with. Do I intentionally even like these people?
Mm.
No. I do. If I hang out with you, I do like you.
My line goes dead.
Do I intentionally want to hang out with these people? Am I actively meeting up with these people that I like? Or am I just like hanging out with them because I've always hung out with them? And if you're my friend thinking, oh, is that about me? No, I'm not talking about you. This isn't about you.
It's true. Are you spending your days how you'd like, living with intention? Or are you being passive and letting life wash over you? Because I do that all the time. And I constantly need to
be on it.
Pick myself back out.
But also, no pressure. If you intentionally want to watch fucking Netflix for hours on end.
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of the point.
Sounds like a dream.
Well, there you go. I hope that's your plan today. I hope you can just have a nice day today and chill.
So stunning.
Live your best life. Be your best self.
So stuns. And I love that stunning has become a thing for us.
How stunning is that?
Because I didn't even realise we fucking said it, but you know what? Life is stuns.
It's kind of stunning. Stunning. Stunning.
What time is it? Stunning time.
Stunning time.
It's our vacation.
Get me out of here. I think we need to go.
Cool. So everyone go ride the bike, live with intention. Always put an insurance choice on your uni. That's the life lesson.
Honestly, here. Lessons learned.
Lessons learned. And live your best authentic life. Don't try and steer the river.
We are the worst. Just live with intention and leave us a review. Bye. God, I hate myself.
Yeah, I love it. See you next time then, guys.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.